I invite you to pray with me and for me as I begin this message today. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O God, you are our rock and our redeemer. God, we ask that you would help us to open ourselves up to receive what you have to say to us today. And as always, God, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me. May my words contain your truth. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how good you guys are at remembering Bible verses. I don't know if you grew up in a way where you had to do sword drills. Some folks I knew in the Baptist churches knew more, had more quantity of Bible verses that they had memorized. For some of us, it's difficult to remember verses. We might know the whole story a little more than we could pick out one verse or another, or even know the address of a verse. But there is one verse that we've been studying for. This will be the third week, and it's a really good one to commit to memory because it really addresses the question, who is the God who is, right? Who is this God that we want to follow, that we seek to believe in, that we hope to know, that we trust, that we worship? Who is this God who is? And this verse in the book of Exodus, it's the most referenced verse in the whole Bible. More times, it's repeated about God's character. And so it's Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. Now, when you seek to memorize this, it's five things. And we talked about the first two weeks ago. We talked about slow to anger. That's in the middle last week. And today we're talking about the last two, loyal or steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, you might remember compassion back when we were looking at compassion, the word compassion. Go back one to compassion. Yeah, that's rakum. Everybody say rakum. And it reminds us that that has the same root as the word womb. It's your core or center. It's the part of you that it's a passionate word. Imagine the feeling you might have got if there's any moms out there or dads out there that heard their kids crying. And it just was like maybe other people didn't hear the kid crying, but you did. And whatever it is, there's that sound, and you had to go and comfort that child. It's that same sort of idea. This comes from the core. God hears God's people crying out and has compassion. He's moved to action by whatever's going on with his people. And the second word that we looked at is the word for gracious, which is the word in Hebrew, chen. Now, there's a KH sound. And I put the K there in front of us to remind us that it's not hen, it's hen. It sounds like they're clearing your throat, and you kind of have to make that sound, hen, right? Well, hen is from an aesthetic idea, it means beautiful or lovely. And so when you hear about a poet that would have lips of hen, beautiful speech, right? Or a beautiful gift, a piece of jewelry that is chen. But it comes to mean favor. God's favor or people favoring one another, this idea of favor. It's undeserved favor, this word chen. And often it's spoken in the Bible if it's in the eyes. Have I found chen in your eyes? Do you see with favor, with graciousness, this gift? So in moving on, last week we talked about erekaphaim, which is slow to anger, and literally it means long of nose. And that's kind of a strange thing to think about, but the Hebrew expression for short temper would be short of nose or hot in the nose. And so our expression hot-headed, and that God is not hot-headed. God's anger is not unpredictable or explosive or coming from out of nowhere. It's based on something, and it's slow. God gives has more patience, more he puts up with the people's rebellion way longer than reasonable. But we talked about the story last week about the prodigal son and how Jesus paints this picture of God as the father who gives what the son asks for. And you don't see anger so much in the father. Maybe he's hurt, we don't know. But what we do know is that when the son comes to himself and rehearses coming home, he's on his way home, the father is running out to greet his son that was lost and now is found, the son that was dead and has now returned. And it's this running to greet him. This is part of our verse today. It's abounding in love. Abounding is one of those action words, like think about leaping to this love. And so that brings us to our word chesed. The word chesed. Everybody say that? Chesed. This is a powerful, powerful word, and it's about enduring commitment. This word chesed is based on this act of undeserved commitment, right? We hear the story of Ruth in the Bible. If you read the book of Ruth, Ruth is a foreigner who's married to an Israelite, and he dies, and she takes care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And people see her doing this over time, and they call it an act of chesed. It's a committed, enduring love. We see this again in Jacob. He's lied a whole bunch, and he's been deceptive, and he's made a mess of things. And he looks at his life, and 20 years pass by, and he looks at his life, and he says, God, I have not been deserving of your chesed. And that's kind of the point, that it's undeserved. This is over and over again mentioned in the Psalms. In Psalm 136, as we sang this morning, 26 times it says, God's love endures forever. And if you turn to Psalm 36 and you're reading it, you get the whole story of God's people, how God led them out of captivity, how God did this thing and that thing, and the people would sing each time, God's love endures forever. And if you come to Psalm 136 and you're praying this psalm and you're thinking about all the wonderful things that God's done, you know, it ends at a certain place when it was written, but we could keep going. That time that God showed God's love in this way, and then God's love endures forever. We catch a little glimpse of that sometimes in those friends and those family members that we know of that have loved one another all the way to heaven. Do you know of someone in your mind that has loved in that kind of way, this unfailing, committed chesed? It was lived out when I was a little kid. In 1984, my grandmother and my grandfather moved in with my mom and I. And my grandfather was declining. He had a brain cancer, and he was declining from long-term effects of the radiation. And so I remember so vividly. I was 10 years old, and it was 1984. And the Summer Olympics were on that year. Remember that? Mary Lou Retton and all the things. 1984 is a big year. And my grandmother, I promise you, she could run faster than any Olympic athlete if my grandfather needed her. He'd be in the bedroom, he'd start coughing or something. She'd be in the other side of the house in the kitchen, and she'd start running, and I could hear her run. She'd jump over the couch, whoosh, fly through the air and come and make sure that he was taken care of. And even though later in life he couldn't do anything for her, he would always ask if there's anything that he could do. He loved her that way, and she loved him in that way, loved one another all the way to heaven, that love that endures forever. I have my grandfather's wedding ring, and when I got married, my wife engraved "Love endures forever" inside the ring. It's such a wonderful reminder that it has no beginning and no end. I was thinking like the basketball in the children's time. It's no beginning and no end. It just goes on and on. The love that endures forever. I don't take this ring off. I misplaced it one time. I almost broke my heart. I was doing yard work, and all of a sudden I didn't have my "Love endures forever" ring. And I knew that love endures forever, whether I have my ring or not, and it was going to be okay. But I dug up every flower that I had planted to try to find the ring. And then we borrowed a metal detector from some neighbors. And I had these four bags of leaves that I had raked. You know, I ripped up one of them to look, and this, and sitting right there on top of all the leaves was "Love endures forever." I hadn't taken it off since. Probably need to clean it or something. Such a wonderful reminder of that love. And the people of God, our love, we don't respond in that same way. We turn our backs, but God's love remains steadfast, as we say in our communion liturgy. The prophet Hosea compared the people's love to the morning dew on the grass that is gone by like 7:30 a.m. in Texas in August. Yeah, and it's connected with God's faithfulness, this love. Connected with God's faithfulness. The word for faithfulness is Emmet. Everybody say Emmet. If I had another child, I think I'd name him Emmet. I think this would be a cool name, Emmet. Emmet means faithfulness, but really it has its roots in the word truth, or truthfulness, or trustworthiness. This is a word that means steady, and it's connected to the word that we say at the end of a prayer, which means it's truth, our word amen, right? It's from this word emet. In the Bible, Moses is lifting, when they're fighting the Amalekites, really cool story, Moses is lifting his arms, but if you try to lift your arms for a long time, Moses kind of blessing the battle, and the Israelites are winning, and then Moses puts his head down, they start losing, and so they propped up Moses' hands. It says he needed to have hands or arms and hands of emet, steady. When Moses appoints the leadership, they are to be people of emet, people that can be trusted, that don't take bribes, that are faithful in that way. The first person that trusts God or believes in God in this way in our Bible is Abraham. And Abraham trusts God. Remember, God tells him that he's going to have children, even though he's really, really old. That they're going to have children. And then over and over again, God's people are invited to trust in God's faithfulness, that God is trustworthy. That's who God is, that God will provide for God's people. And so they trusted in God, and then when they entered into the promised land, they begin to feel shaken by that. And then you come, they entered into the promised land, and all of a sudden there's giants there. And so we have the story of David, who encounters the giant, and he trusts in the Lord. He said, "You might be big and mighty, but I belong to the Lord." It says that David walked in emet. He trusted in God. And so the promise was for David that from David's line would come the Savior, the kingdom would be restored. A few years later, the kingdom fell. And so this question began to echo, is God faithful? Can God be trusted? Is God trustworthy? God made this promise. Can we count on this promise because it seems like all is lost. It's that Lamentations passage that Pastor Jermaine read, that we go through these times where we feel God very distant, very, very absent. Can God be trusted? Is God faithful? And so the good news, when you get to the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, the very first verse of the first book in the New Testament answers that question. Can God be trusted to be faithful? And it opens with these words. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Remember the prophecy that he would come from the line of Judah. So in the Gospels, we see this fulfillment of God's character, who God is, as compassionate. Of course, we see that in Jesus as he heals the sick, as he's touched by the people and what they're going through. This gracious, is God gracious? We see this in Jesus, this gift embodied in Jesus, unmerited favor, slow to anger. We look at who Jesus is angry with. He's not angry with the sinners. He's angry with the Pharisees who have unrepentant hearts. He's angry with those that are turning away. Then we have abounding in steadfast love. We see that in Jesus all the way to the cross, his death and resurrection, saying once and for all that God is faithful, that God keeps God's promises, and that we can trust in that. Now, it's hard sometimes to trust in anyone. We see how sometimes people can let us down, and yet God's love remains steadfast. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, for revealing yourself to us. God, we thank you for this revelation and for helping us to keep our eyes fixed on you, for helping us to remember your character. God, we ask that you would guide us and direct us, that we too might be people who reflect your compassion, your graciousness. God, we ask that we might be people that are cool-headed and slow to anger, with our arms open to give and to receive. God, help us to remember your chesed, your steadfast love, and to share that with others as well. God, thank you for your emet, for your faithfulness, for being our rock that we can depend on when all else might fail, for your love that remains steadfast. God, we love you and we thank you. And we ask that we might truly be your people who live in a way that leads to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.